So shall we begin then?
It works.
Okay. All right. Let us know when we're on full public.
Yep, everybody's in.
All right. Good evening. I'd like to call the May 28, 2020 special council meeting to order. Please join me in a moment of silence and then we will have the pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, public to be heard. Do we have any hands up? I know Kathy was looking to perhaps join us from Temperance House.
I don't see any hands up, but whenever the public is asked to be heard, if you want to just take yourself off of mute and speak, that is fine as well, rather than...
Oh, Kathy's here. Hand. Kathy, would you like to join us?
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks. I want to introduce yourself to everyone and share your thoughts, please.
Hi, my name is Kathy Buzik. I'm the owner of the Temperance House. I wasn't actually planning on speaking. I apologize.
Oh, not at all. That's okay.
Just wanted to hear the concerns, you know, of State Street. Businesses, restaurants, all the above. I mean, you know, struggling, everyone's struggling. I know that, you know, especially obviously our, you know, our new town businesses and stuff. Just trying to figure out how to stay ahead or survive or tread in this water. So every day I'm trying to do something different or, you know, to adjust to all these like new rules and regulations and so on and so forth. So I guess the new, I don't know what you're, you know, open to listening to, but I know restaurants are basically allowed to do outdoor seating, which obviously is a huge concern for me because I don't have it. So I need to try to figure out how to do that ASAP. So I did put something together that I just submitted to Mike Talia yesterday. Actually, probably today was when it finally went over. Unfortunately, Harb, I think I learned, met last night. So I don't know how I'm supposed to try to catch up with that. But I guess, just trying to listen. And if you guys have any questions, I would definitely love to, you know, give my opinions. But otherwise, I was just planning on seeing where everything's at and what you guys were trying to do to help us and what we can do to help you guys.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation. We've got some members of the public have emailed us, some residents. Sylvia Lucci from Cafe Con Leche reached out to Julia, who's our zoning liaison. And Sylvia's actually been on she's on a committee in Philadelphia working on some of these things. And then as you may know, Carol Richardson submitted a sort of proposal for some, you know, reopening Newtown celebration events and how we, you know, we might do that.
Okay.
So what we've done is we've asked our solicitor to look into what we can do in terms of our ordinances for allowing outdoor dining and alcohol consumption in general. You particularly in a situation where you have your own property. So that's a little bit different than using like a public space, like a parking lot, a street or whatever. So next week on the agenda, under the mayor's report, we've got the proposal from the Mercantile Group. And then onto the solicitor's report to talk about the legal angle. So if you're able to join us next week, that would be fantastic. And I know Mike Clark is our solicitor. You've already looked into some of this from what I understand. And I don't know, Porky, if you have anything to say. So I'm going to pass it over to both of you for any further reply.
Well, I think one of the things that we need to address is what we have talked about. And I think there are ways that it can be done. But I think Mike Clark and his legal team need to address some of these issues. But I think that we need to have a couple more days and also find out what happens between now and the 5th in regards to what may change in the yellow phase in regards to what may or may not be open, and then find out what we can do as far as our ordinance goes and possibly being able to work something out to allow the businesses to have something from a short-term basis. So our solicitor, Mike Clark, is going to be working on that between now and Tuesday. Correct, Mike?
That is correct. We've already taken a look at some of the preliminary issues, and we are happy to discuss them. But the overall issue of allowing restaurants to set up outdoor seating and things of that nature, we're still taking a look at that right now.
All right.
And we should have something by next week. So.
Can I just add something real fast?
Sure.
Okay. I know you're saying temporary and all that other stuff, and I hear, you know, the whole temporary thing, but if you can also just keep in mind that summer, everybody usually is going down the shore, so that actually becomes my slowest part of my revenue, as you might say, and unfortunately, being hit as hard as we have been with this COVID, I'm afraid that, you know, not having something a little bit longer of our term would also be detrimental, to be honest. So just to keep that in mind, you know, I don't know how temporary or anything like that. I'm just saying, I'll stop talking.
Well, there's a lot of wording that can be, you know, instituted into this. And that's one of the things that, you know, legally we have to look at and say, is this till the end of the pandemic? Is this to the end of summer? Is this, you know, 90 days? And I think one of the most important things is that we look at it as to what other communities can and have instituted or will institute. And I think that's where our solicitor will advise us of whether we can go until the end of the pandemic, whether it's till we all go green or what. But we don't know right now at this time, Kathy. And I totally understand what you're asking for. And unfortunately, I don't think we can give you that right now.
No, I hear you. But when we go green as a restaurant, it doesn't actually allow us to be still full capacity. I think they're saying max is 50.
Right. 50%.
Thank you.
All right. So what I'm hearing is you'd like to go into the fall for outdoor dining.
I'm just trying to figure out any way to survive, you know, and to keep this afloat. I just know, you know, not having outdoor seating is a big hurt on me. And then going into like October, people are still wanting to be outside. Just about to like, I could say mid October is when I start to get my regulars back. Usually, now, obviously we're all in an unknowing, you know, part this year with everybody either staying home or not, but I'm just saying, you know, just keeping my options open. I would be forking out a lot of money to try to do an outside. You know, would put out an expense. I would hate to obviously not be able to recover, let alone obviously put myself in a better position. Does that make any sense? You know,
very much so.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. And we want you to survive too. And we
thank
love
you.
What you're doing. And you're really part of the community here too. And
I appreciate it. Thank
you. Bob, you've got your.
Well, this is a question for Michael. Dining is one thing on the outside of the buildings, but what about liquor and beer? Is that subject to the Liquor Control Board's guidance, or is that going to come out of the governor's office, or don't you know?
There's going to be some LCB issues, obviously, that we have to look at, and that's one of the things we're looking at on a bigger term. We have already taken a look at the fact that the borough is fairly strict with respect to its ordinance with open containers and outside consumption of alcohol. So unless you're a particular restaurant that already allows for outdoor seating, The idea of us just setting up tables in a parking lot or something and then allowing the consumption of alcohol is currently prohibited by our ordinances. And we need to look at if you want to relax that, and then we need to look at whether or not we can do that consistent with the LCB says. And the restaurants are going to need to look at what their licenses say, because they don't want to, we don't want to give a restaurant permission to allow set up tables on the street. Then they do it, and then the LCB comes in and cites them for selling liquor or providing alcohol outside of their building. So it's one of the, not one of, it's the issue, an important issue that we're looking at. And they're all going to, there's, you know, the law of unintended consequences here is what we're trying to avoid. We don't want to grant one thing and then have four other problems come up down the road.
So we will, we'll have a full discussion on this next week, and that'll be when you have further information that'll help guide us. And like for Kathy in particular, that's your property there, so that you're looking at, and some other restaurants are looking at how could they use the public space.
Correct.
So, Tara,
Tara, Evan Stone has his hand up. He's with the Bucks County Planning Commission.
Yeah. I don't see your hand up. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah.
Hi.
So a couple things just in response to a comment that Charles made, and also to help Kathy out. If you haven't gone to our county portal, as you know, we maintain, the Planning Commission is working with the commissioners, the Department of Health, to maintain two COVID-related portals. One is related specifically to pandemic health-related issues. The second is our economic resources portal. We have a lot of extensive guideline on what is allowable in the yellow phase on the economic portal. And what I'll do is I'll post in the chat section the link to that portal. But we have a lot of good extensive guidance on what is or isn't allowed and other guidance that you may find helpful, particularly as it relates to restaurants. And Mike, I'll touch base with you probably offline. It's one of the things that we've been talking about just recently, because we recognize that many municipalities are in the same boat relative to what will and won't be allowed relative to outside dining, curbside pickup, parking, things like that, that are all impacted as a result of a change and a shift in the operations of how we go about returning to normal eating. Cocktails you can now do pick up, I believe the governor signed that. But Mike's point about, you know, whether you can drink outside the facility is a good one. And we're just as interested in seeing how these multiple municipalities are going to deal with that. But go to the economic resources portal. There's a lot of good information there, and I'll post that link in the chat section.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, do we have any other public to be heard? Okay, I'm going to hand this meeting over. It is a special meeting with the Bucks County Planning Commission and the Newtown Borough Planning Commission and Borough Council is the kickoff meeting for our comprehensive plan process. And that is the topic for today's meeting. So I'm gonna hand it over to Marv now, who is our liaison to the Planning Commission.
Hi, I'm Marv Cohen. I'm a Borough Council liaison to the Borough Planning Commission. Normally, I think we go around the table to introduce people, but that becomes more difficult in virtual. So I'm going to try and start off the intros myself. And then at the end, I'll come back to see if our guests have anything additional to say about themselves. So I'd like to welcome our three guests from the Bucks County Planning Commission: Evan Stone, who's the Executive Director; Michael Rodig, who's the Director of Planning Services; and Deanna Miller, who's a Planning Coordinator. We have with us most of the members of our Borough Planning Commission. I will introduce the chair, who I don't see online yet, but the chair is Mark Craig. Our vice chair I see, Michael Ramos, and additional members I believe online are Charles Manchin, Heather Lewis, and Richard Spadesino. And I do believe Mark Waldinger also, so I think that Ted Schmidt And Mark are the only two not here.
Actually, Mark Craig is actually on.
Okay.
Mark Craig,
our chair of the Planning Commission.
Now we've got our chair and our chief and
And right now on screen is our council president, Peregrinda McLaughlin, our vice chair, Julio Waldorf, and also Robert Suecos, Sue Turner, and Nicole Rodowitz, our mayor, Charles Schwartz. And I guess any of our three guests, is there anything else you'd like to say about yourselves?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We're excited to work with you guys.
It's a pleasure, and thank you again for all of your flexibility in deciding which day this would happen and trying to swing it between in-person and virtual meeting.
We're happy to be here. We're happy to talk about the plan tonight.
I made sure everybody had the agenda. I'll just give the very top line is that this is mainly a question and answer period and informational for our three guests to get what our current issues are, what we think has worked right in the past or not, to essentially be a kickoff for any survey that we are to be done. We had provided some points for people on council with the committees they liaise with to get information, and hopefully some of that is available now to share with our guests. If either Mr. Stone or Rodig or Ms. Miller, do you have any introductory statement?
So yeah, as you just mentioned, the purpose of tonight's meeting is to kick off the borough's new comprehensive plan. We like to have an initial meeting with council to go over, as you said, the outstanding issues that are going on in the borough these days. To kind of get a sense of how much you like the current comprehensive plan, if there's anything that you'd like to do differently moving forward, how successful the plan has been in terms of implementation. We also have to resolve other issues such as whether the borough still would like to do a resident survey and just sort of general general logistical type questions as to, who we're going to be working with and, meetings and, meeting schedules and, those types of finer details. So I think what we should do is just kind of really throw it out there as to whether you are happy with your current comprehensive plan get some feedback on how successful you think that plan has been.
Well, I guess then other people can either confirm or not. Probably the two biggest successes in the last 2 years related to comprehensive plan would be related to open space, which is certainly at a premium in the borough. The first would be the very excellent work that Julia Waldorf did in terms of upgrading the Newtown Commons, which is one of our few pieces of open property. And then we successfully did purchase a new piece of open property very close to the central business district that we're much looking forward to putting into the enjoyment of the community. And those were, of course, those are always, high level goals of the comprehensive plan 10 years ago. So at least some progress has been made, some different, and not easy progress considering what a premium open space is in a place like the borough.
Do you have any other comments on any successes the borough's had?
One piece I just want to add, not specifically about the plan per se, but about the participants. So Julie Waldorf, who's a member of council right now, has participated in the past as a member of council. And Mark Craig, who is presently the Planning Commission chair, was on Borough Council and on prior boards and committees for, I don't know, about 25 years or so. And he's participated in creating both of the previous comprehensive plans. So we have some people here who have that sort of overall arc and perception and, you know, and can see it with a certain perspective. That goes even beyond those of us who read it and look to implement parts and get familiar that way. So I haven't compared them with this, but one thing that might be helpful is to hear from Mark and from Julia their experiences in the past, and are there things looking back at that they might say, hey, this was great and we should do this one part a little bit differently.
Well, if I might say something, I actually helped with the comprehensive plan before I got on council the last time. I was a part of a team that mailed out all the surveys to the residents and the businesses. And in fact, in cleaning up the house, as we are all want to do, having been stuck at home and looking at piles of things, actually came across a bunch of the blank surveys that we had sent out before. So if anybody would like to see what they look like, you know, I can certainly share them with you. I found that the survey was very important, and it also served to support not only the comprehensive plan, but the open space plan, which was passed shortly thereafter and was sort of developed in tandem with it. And it's also run its 10-year course, and it's time to look at that as well. And over the last 10 years, I've seen that the town has changed considerably, and it would be worthwhile to do the survey, both of the business district and of the residents, to see what their priorities are going forward.
Mark? Hey, Mark?
Hear me okay?
Your sound is not working very well.
Yeah, you guys were cutting out on me. I moved and changed router, but I'm hoping it's a little better.
That's good now.
Sounds better.
It's improving.
Excuse me?
That's good now where you are. We can hear you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Who's actually the firm that's updating the plan? Is that being done through the Bucks County Planning Commission, or is that a private firm?
Bucks County Planning Commission. Our staff will be doing your update.
Okay. Did you receive the list of we the Planning Commission went through the 2010 plan and what had been accomplished, what was still in progress, and what still needed to be done? Did you receive a checklist of any sort from us?
I'll defer to Mike and Deanna, but I don't think we did.
Yeah, I didn't see one.
Okay. Now, and to your point, that's generally one of the first things we always will look to start with.
Yeah, because we had maybe four or five meetings where we went through all the items and did a check off. So it would probably be helpful for you to look at those results as a starting point. So we'll get that to you. Do you have contact information, or I guess I know the venue to get your contact information.
Yeah, Mark Craig would give that to Marv, or okay. Or Mark and Marv would talk, and Mark would send it one way. However they decide that they want to do that. But because I know you guys had that ready and were working on that through last fall. So, and starting last year. So they can coordinate and get that over to the county, which would be helpful now that we're getting the ball rolling. Because prior to that, we hadn't yet, we voted and agreed to use the Bucks County Planning Commission, but the meeting was delayed because of the pandemic until finally, I guess, Marvin conversation, everybody said, hey, like, we'll just go ahead and start where we are now, and this is working, and that way we can get going. So now is the time for that to then get handled. So, thanks.
Okay.
So is it Mark that is in possession of that list? And definitely he could send it to Judy and to me. That would be great.
Yeah, I don't know if it's digitized. I don't know if it was done by hand, but there is a list. I'll touch base with Mark. He probably can hear us too. So, well, there he is.
Well, can you hear me a little bit?
Some reason, Mark, your voice is sort of like computerized in a way. Like it's not coming in.
Right. My wife tells me it's a signal. So I have to walk around the house somewhere.
Now you're sounding better, but can you hear the conversation that we've been having? Did you hear what Mike Ramos had to say regarding the work that you guys have
been doing? I've been having the same issues hearing you guys. So what I'm trying to move right now to a better spot. How's this?
Better.
That sounds good.
What we did, hold on a second, let me get the video here.
Actually, Mark, your muttering sounded excellent.
A what?
I said your muttering sounded excellent, so that part was good.
Right. Well, let's hope my muttering will sound okay.
There you go. All right.
Over the course of last year, we actually went through the entire comprehensive plan. And each one of the sections, we went through and determined whether the sections had been accomplished or in progress, issues. You know, we noted things that could be worked on in those sections, whether it was still applicable. And for each one of those sections, within a template that had been created, I think Warren Waldorf actually created the template at one point, and they were memorialized in our minutes very well by Leslie. The problem I have is that I can't find that original document. I wanted to go through and drop them into that same chart that we had, but I haven't yet done so. So all of the comments are certainly around, and I could summarize or make copies to everyone, but I would like to have it within the context of each one of the comments. If you look at the comprehensive plan from 10 years ago, at the back of the plan is where it was a matrix of items in the comprehensive plan, as well as responsible parties to look after that particular section of the comprehensive plan, and then what are some of the action items that have been occurred. I think over the course of two or three times, maybe two times over the last 10 years, there's actually been assessments of where we stood and what the progress noted in there. I mean, one of them, for instance, was the creation of the traditional neighborhood development over by where Stockbrokers was. And that's an example. But others just, we went in our meetings for the last year, we've gone through and plugged through, and we've completed complete assessment of the entire comprehensive plan. So I did not get that updated for today's meeting.
It's pages 111 through 125 of our plan, of the plan 10 years ago.
I think that's fine. I think that we certainly don't need to talk about that tonight. As we work with the Planning Commission, That will be one of the first things that we do. We go over that in detail. I think that, you know, for the purposes of tonight's meeting, you just kind of want to get a general sense of, you think this comprehensive plan has been effective. And are there things that you think that we can do moving forward to make the next comprehensive plan even more effective? One of the things that I do like about your plan is that in one section, it notes there's five different things that you want to accomplish. I think one was open space mentioned tonight. Another was, I guess, related to economic development. Another was related to stormwater management. And, you know, I can't think of what the other two. But that is, it's a little bit harder in the plan. And I think that one of the things that we can do with this update is to be a little bit more upfront about the major things that the borough would like to accomplish in the next 10 years. And, you know, the particular idea is to create a document sort of in front of that plan, a plan summary, if you will, that just really kind of goes over you know, what are the, you know, it provides a sort of a short list of what are the things that we really want to do over the next couple of years, and then provide, you know, as we did in the back of the existing plan, provide an area to check off whether, you know, the borough has accomplished those big items, so that you have a record that is very accessible to people. And, you know, so that you can sort of evaluate your progress as you've been doing over the last couple months. I think what we try to do with that list is to sort of really kind of boil it down a little bit, so that you don't have the laundry list at the end of the plan as you currently have. You know, if you've accomplished most of the things in the back of that plan, I mean, God bless you. But at the same time, we find that municipalities, you know, once they complete their comprehensive plans, tend to lose focus a little bit, and it's more helpful to, target those items that you would like to accomplish or tackle over the next 10 years.
So are you saying just condensing the checklist? Yes, mainly?
We still would have a number of implementation items in our recommendations section. But we would condense it down to, here are the big things we want to do over the next couple of years. And, you know, usually when we talk with our municipalities, we come up with a list that's long enough that keeps them more than busy over the next 10 years. You know, when you have, 80 to 100 recommendations, there's just not time to tackle each and every recommendation.
Yeah. Makes sense.
One process thing that I'm wondering if we can improve on regarding the survey is last time we had about a third of the residents respond. And I don't know, you know, what standard for the other plans that you do. I remember 20 years ago, getting the survey, and you know, it was a really nice way to feel connected to the community, feel like that was valued, and that part was important in addition to what we get out of it. Today we've got other resources. We've got more people on social media, for example. We're looking at putting up together and getting up and going a email contact list through the website for, you know, any updates coming from the borough. And I'm wondering what the county has found as far as ways to improve the response rate so we can try to get more than a third of residents to respond.
Well, I'd like to say that a third is actually a pretty good response rate. We've gotten 20%, 15% in some municipalities. So you're actually doing really well if you get a third response rate. You know, it would be nice to get everybody's opinion in the borough, but that's just not really realistic. This year, or at least with this plan, what we would like to do is do an online
search. Mike, you froze there.
I'm sorry?
I think Tara froze.
Yeah, you're actually fine.
Tara froze. You're fine, Michael.
Okay, all right. So we would like to do an online survey. And the survey, we have a tool that allows only one computer per survey, so that you can't fill out multiple surveys on one particular device. I mean, obviously, if you move over devices, you could fill out more surveys. But, you know, making it sort of a link to a survey, giving people plenty of an opportunity to fill out that survey might increase that response rate, rather than having to sit down to a paper survey where you got to, you know, fill in the dots and then fold it up and then put it in the mail. This would be a much more convenient way of doing it. And that would be certainly one way of hopefully increasing that response rate.
Would you do just online or both mail and online?
I think what we could do is an online survey plus make paper copies available, but not send out those paper copies. Mm.
Yeah.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, those paper copies can be available, whether it be like through the town or libraries or anything. But I do think having paper copies, there is a benefit because there are going to be people who may not have access to technology or may not be on that email list or see that social media post. So it is always good to have a physical copy for people to use as well.
But if we just
worked with East Rock Hill Township and they paid us to facilitate mailing a survey to every house in their municipality. And so whether you actually mail the physical survey or you want to mail a postcard with the link to the survey, that's certainly another avenue you can pursue to make sure that everybody is aware that the survey is out there and to drive them to that plus your Facebook page, you know, LinkedIn, whatever it is that you're using social media wise, Instagram, you can certainly use all of those devices in platforms to get word out about the survey.
With the pamphlets that you like leave at the library, do you have to put a name when you send it back? So someone doesn't just take like 10 and just send them all back? Or, I mean, whereas if you mail them, you know, it's going to a specific address in person. Or is it?
I think what we've done
I just wanted to confirm whether they when they return the surveys, did they put their name on it, an address?
That's usually an optional thing. We have, you know, when people look at the surveys, you could probably, you know, when we compile them, you know, there's not a real concern that somebody's going to stuff the survey box. I guess you could take a look to see whether, you know, it seems like the same handwriting is coming in, you know, with multiple surveys. And then there's always the, we usually give the option of people leaving their name and address to see if they would be interested in being contacted at a later date. And so that would be another way of getting people to you know, be honest with, you know, only sending in one survey.
So I think if we actually got somebody who wanted to take the time to fill out 10 surveys, what we really need to do is get that person on a couple of boards and committees.
Yeah, no kidding.
Marv, I was going to say the same thing.
You know, one of the other things you can consider with the survey, too, is whether you want to incentivize it. You know, some municipalities, you know, you can make it so that if you want to be entered into a drawing to win an iPad, for instance, then you put your email address. That's another way to drive people to the survey. But in looking at the paper surveys, as we go through them and start to tally the results, we can certainly start to identify if we start to see a very recurrent theme or the same answer multiple times expressed the same way, it certainly becomes a tip off that there may be someone who's trying to skew results, but I really doubt that that's going to happen. And so I think you're going to be okay in the long run. And I think the thing to keep in mind with the survey is what you're really trying to do is get a snapshot. Unless you're really looking to drive a statistically valid survey where you're going to contact every household and follow up with a phone call and make sure that everybody responds. What this really is it's just a snapshot. It's a tool to try to assess general community input as it relates to major issues within the borough. And then beyond that, you take it for what it's worth, and we try to come out and derive answers from it. So I just think you have to keep that in mind as you pursue the survey.
I have a quick question. Hi. Hi, my name is Nicole. I'm a borough counselor. So putting on like the budget hat is during the comprehensive plan, does that ever become a survey question, meaning, okay, as a community, are we willing to, you know, maybe have a tax raise? Everyone hates saying that word, but part of the reason why a lot of our comprehensive plan didn't get finished was because we didn't have the money to do it. So is there ever a time during this planning process that at the same time you take some cost into factor when we're actually making the 10-year plan? I'm just wondering if, I don't know, like, is there, and then it also, if that could be a survey question to the community, like, if you want, you know, all these things, what are you, I guess, are you okay with, you know, possibly having a, I hate to say tax increase, but that's the only way to say it.
Yeah, and Mike, you can jump in too, but, you know, we did a similar type of ask with East Rock Hill as an example. And I don't recall that we phrased it directly as a tax increase, but I think it was phrased more along the lines of where would you like to see the municipality spend more resources, which is, you know, kind of a veiled way perhaps to see a tax increase. But right. What we did was we were able to word the question in a way that it wasn't directly asking about taxes and increasing them, but it was to, again, gauge where people's importance lied relative to major issues that clearly have a budget impact to the municipality, whether okay. it's more open space, whether it's police protection, fire protection. So there's ways, and what we can do is we'll give you those examples of those surveys that we've done as we look to formulate questions, and you guys can help guide us as to what type of question and how you want to ask it. But the short answer is sure. If you want to ask directly about a tax increase, you can do that.
Okay, I like your wording better. Thank you.
Tara,
I think we'd like to raise it.
And just to add, I'm going to bother me. I just want to add real quick, last one actually had that in the survey, but it was super basic, as in, would you like to have more taxes and better services? Would you have like less taxes and fewer services? Or would you like to have it the same? And you know, it was a rough breakdown, but it didn't get into any details. Okay, all right, Bob?
In preparing to do a survey, we've been talking about how to reach people to let them know we're going to clean their streets, we're going to plow the snow, we're going to do something, paint crosswalks, whatever it is. And we're discussing and trying to figure out how to get to people. And in this age of telecommunication, we really need people to access us with their email addresses so that in return we can get back to them. If we go into a email non-paper world, we're gonna have to send them a paper in the first place to let them know what we're doing and to get their vital information of their email so that we can get to the second stage to get a broader survey out. So sort of the chicken and the egg problem here is, how do you get to the people? You can't send them emails if you don't have the emails. So you really have to have a first wave of paper, and we have to figure out what to do with that first inquiry as a preliminary step. So if we're trying to increase participation, We have to figure out how to get the people, especially when there's fewer newspapers. People are getting hundreds of emails, a lot of spam per day, and going to the county and the state and the borough's web pages, it's a wealth of information. You can get drowned in it. So how we communicate in the first instance and then in the second wave is going to be very important of how we accomplish this goal. Thank you.
So I think to sort of answer your question, we have to take advantage of social media. We recently have worked with Morrisville Borough. We sent out a survey for them. The local residents there are very interested in the happenings around Morrisville. And there are active Facebook pages that just are about Morrisville issues. So a lot of people would share the link to the survey. It would be posted on the borough website. There were different ways of getting the word out about that survey. I don't think that sending it, obviously if you do have an email list, we would like to use that email list and send out the link to people who want to receive borough news. One of the things that we did with the survey was that we asked a question of where you got your borough news from. We laid out, whether it was Twitter, whether it was Facebook, or whether it was newspapers or word of mouth or a variety of other sources. And we got feedback from residents over where they got their news from. And I think that would be a very useful question to the borough, moving forward, so that you can concentrate your resources onto particular information sources.
Mike, in your planned schedule for the development of the comprehensive plan, how soon would you anticipate getting a survey up and running?
I think that would probably take about, just because there's a lot of back and forth, probably about 3 months.
3 months, 3 months to put the survey up, or 3 months to have completed and tabulated the survey?
3 months. 3 months to get that survey in a final form that we could send out. Just because there's, assuming we're having one meeting a month, we would bring a survey to a meeting, there would be discussion over it, we would make changes, we go to the next meeting, there'd be more changes, and then hopefully by that third meeting, it would be good to go, or even before that third meeting.
Okay, so you anticipate that you'll be working with the Borough Planning Commission to develop the survey and get it ready.
Assuming that we are going to be working with the Planning Commission on this comprehensive plan, unless there's a special committee that council would like to put together.
So I guess that's one of the decisions that the borough needs to make as to what group are you working directly with at this point.
Correct. So another question that I have, because this was brought up earlier, and I looked into the last comprehensive plan, there was a business survey and there was a resident survey. In our proposal, we only did a proposal for a resident survey. We did not do a proposal that would include a business survey. If we were to do a business survey, that would probably be a little bit more money. Are you okay with just doing a resident survey for this plan?
I don't know who should answer. I think we'll probably have to discuss that. And part of it might be is in how good a shape is the prior survey. That's true for the residential survey too, is obviously priorities and questioning might have changed over the last 10 years, but, you know, potentially a reasonable piece of either of those two are still applicable.
Yeah, and about how much would it cost to add a business survey onto it? I mean, you know, we have a fairly small business district, but there's still, you're still talking a couple hundred more addresses.
I think we'd have to sort of have some further discussion about that. When we put together that proposal, I don't think we looked as closely at the comprehensive plan as we should have and realized that there was a business survey too. So we didn't anticipate that. I think maybe it's something that, council and the planning commission should think about a little bit. And that would be a discussion point at our first meeting as to whether you'd like to proceed with a business survey as well.
Mm-hmm. Because obviously that is something that can be helpful and, important, and it's a different voice, but still an essential part of the community. So we'll talk about that then. And that's good. Something I'll mark, Craig, if you all can, from the Planning Commission, can think about that as well. But yeah, Mark or Mike Rodig, having that financial data would be helpful for the borough also. So thanks.
Well, one possibility is that the business survey could go through the Mercantile Association as a funnel point in terms of getting recommendations from, so it wouldn't necessarily be as broad a net that had to be thrown.
Mm-hmm. That would be helpful, yeah. And not all the businesses are in the Mercantile Group, but that would certainly, that's a good point, Marv, absolutely. That could be helpful, for sure.
I mean, I would agree that I think it would probably be helpful to have business feedback in some proportion. Just my opinion.
I think we can work that out. I'll get with Mike. We'll figure out how much additional effort it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be too much. But let's talk it through with Mike and we can get back to you on that.
Yeah, and as far as who you work with, going into this, it has been the general understanding that we're all in this together, but you're sort of working with our planning commission, and these are open meetings for members of council and for borough council to be involved with, but that it is essential and important for our planning commission. So it's my understanding this is how it was done in the past, and that is an important role for our planning commission to have. But borough council is invited to and part of any meeting that there may be. We just need to recognize that anytime there's more than a quorum of us, it is a public meeting and needs to be as part advertised as such. So I don't know if Mark, Craig, or Julia, you have any other comments about it in the past, but this has been my understanding going into it.
Well, it's at the very least, there needs to be an identified primary group that is responsible for doing it and to bring in other people to discuss certain sections. So if the Planning Commission is the primary group that is working with the Bucks County Planning Commission, and let's say you're doing the chapters that have to do with environmental resources, that the EAC would be invited to be a part of that discussion for that section and so on. So it's and more targeted discussions to bring in the people that are directly involved. So that's one way of doing it. And I believe that when it was done before, it was the primary group was the Planning Commission. And then it came to council later.
And I think the Planning Commission is expecting to have that primary role, and certainly leaving it that way would be simpler than trying to put together a whole new group, which could add a substantial amount of time.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would agree. And we can branch off to the other working groups and commissions as necessary.
So I don't know if this is a question for Deanna, for Evan, or for Mike Rodig, but will we get a sort of overall timeline? Because you know the different boards and committees have been asked to review their sections within the comprehensive plan and give that feedback, but knowing sort of when these things will come along. And we're looking at, during this time period, we're going to be addressing this, and then we're going to look at that, and then we're going to see this. And how do we build the scaffolding with which we fill the plan?
Deanna, you want to answer that?
Yeah, sorry, it got cut off for a second there. Yeah, so we actually have already created a work plan, a work program plan. And this is right now, we have it set up starting from this month going out until like March of 2021. And we have all of the work sessions laid out. And actually, if I could share my screen, I can show it to you. If you could see it here, this is, can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
This is just, Mike and I had been working on this. This is just the beginning because we don't have any of the set dates yet, but we do have fleshed out here the different work sessions, what we would be discussing. And right now, just these stars show a general timeline of when we'd be wanting to meet with those. We can send you a copy of this for sure, but I think that this would also be really important for if you're trying to get other external groups to come in and talk about certain chapters as well. This could be really helpful, especially if you look at the first couple of work sessions, especially like working from home. I feel like time is flying by and June, July, August will come faster than you even realize. So it might be helpful. Like I said, we can give you a copy of this so that you might want to reach out to other organizations, let them know that these are things coming up. And we'll also be kind of giving you our work that you can see, and then we can discuss it at the meetings as well. So like I said, this is just kind of our first draft with it. And then once we can talk to you and get some more meeting dates, and obviously things might change and we'll keep you in contact, keep in contact with you throughout the whole process. But this is a general overview of when we plan on like our work schedule to work through the plan.
Okay, one thing I'm thinking about is how is the, like generally the meetings with the Pan Planning Commission would be, I would hope, with our on our planning commission days that are already set and advertised, if that works with the county, but that's, you know, what we had thought. Now we need to look at, and this is, you know, we're not asking you to do this other than we need to look at this schedule and know the days that would have all of council there that would not be our already advertised days, which are our two usual meetings plus this fourth Thursday of the month, which I'm sure Marv has already explained to you when we pick these days. Any meeting that we have on this fourth Thursday is already advertised and we can have more than a quorum of council. If at a planning commission meeting, you know, with other public meetings, you know, people can show up, but then they have to sit there quietly, you know, as a member of the public. So if we're going to have meetings that we say, you know, these particular meetings, we want to invite all of council to be there as being active participants, then we should think about what that is, and that could be coordinated between between Mark, Craig, and the county. But then we need to know that because then Judy can put out an advertisement saying on these dates, for example, they could be planning commission meeting dates. These are also council meeting like open dates. That way we're not violating the Sunshine Act and, you know, doing things without advertising it. So that's more of a housekeeping thing, but looking at that chart, I know there's a number of things where like a number of member of councils, if not all of council, would want to be a part of that. So just as we schedule, I want to keep that in mind. And, you know, when we figure that out, let us know so we can advertise. And I don't know, I'm assuming that you deal with this with all your situations and there's sort of a process for that because all the towns have to follow this rule.
Yeah, and the schedule that we just shared, that work program, that doesn't need to be set in stone, and we are flexible in changing dates and whatever. That's not a problem. That's just kind of for us, especially at the beginning stages, to kind of organize who's going to be working on what and when we're going to be doing it. And like I said, we can send you over a copy of that, and we'll stay in contact as things change, just both ways.
All right, thanks very much.
A question, Mike and Indiana and Evan. When you read our plan, did anything strike you as being really woefully out of date or something that would need to be majorly changed because of, say, demographic changes or just world changes or general people's general opinion of things?
Well, certainly our the hazard mitigation section is going to change. This plan, I imagine, would have a good portion of it, not a good portion, but some discussion of COVID and how it's affected the borough and how it might affect the borough in the coming years. I think that overall, I think there are some sections that we can simplify a little bit. I'm a big fan of making it very clean and easy to read. So we would probably go in and just make sure that we're kind of getting to the point, really getting to the issues that are important to the borough, getting to the findings that are important. And coming up with some good planning ideas on how the borough's agenda can be moved forward. I didn't see anything in particular that I would say was completely out of date because it's only been 10 years. As much as happens in 10 years, a lot of stuff does remain the same.
People still complain about traffic.
Yes.
There's also things that, and I just wanted to pop in my head, like our MS4 requirements. There are certain things that are coming in from the outside world that maybe we may want to think about, and you may know from other municipalities that we should think of that we want to put in there, such as the best management practices for stormwater and the things we need to meet MS4 requirements. Would that be something that might dovetail in certain sections? This would be an area where we're not behind because of something content we have, but because of content we don't have. And I think Bob.
We have a issue between our fire company and the fire company in Newtown Township. How do we coordinate a comprehensive plan for the fire and emergency services with another township or a neighboring municipality? How do we handle that?
Well, that probably gets a little bit beyond a true comprehensive plan. And I think, ultimately it's a mutual aid agreement that has to be worked out. And I think the comprehensive plan can address that at a high level. But the details of that are probably something that's going to need to be worked out municipality to municipality.
To Bob's point, though, there are several comments in the existing plan about cooperation between us and the township. So maybe something to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what I can tell you as a side note to that issue is I've been working with the fire chiefs on updating our future of the fire service for the county, and the picture around volunteer firefighting is bleak. And so I think that there's going to be other things related to that issue that are going to come to pass hopefully in the not too distant future, because I think firefighting in general and how firefighting services are rendered are going to need to be changed, and there is going to need to be a more regional and cooperative look amongst the various fire departments within the county. And I also just wanted to add to Mike's comment and to Tara's question about when we read the plan, what did we come away with? And I think another way to say what Mike was saying is what we'd really like to do is move you guys towards what we call an implementable plan. There's a lot of rote methodology in the MPC about what you need to have in a comprehensive plan. And one of the things that we've been trying to do with the newer plans that we're doing is to move away from just the rote methodology and really move communities back to an implementable or towards an implementable plan, which really focuses on the issues and really gives you action items. Again, back to the earlier conversation, the last thing we want to do is produce a plan that sits on a shelf with all kinds of stuff in it that nobody really looks at or is too difficult to tackle, whether it's budget related or simply just getting things done. The implementable plan is a better format that you will find more useful over time and will lend itself to getting things accomplished in a ready basis and in a timely manner.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, in terms of like formatting, when I was looking at the plan, I found it to like kind of read like a book almost, and I would like to see it to be more of like a usable document. So one, to make it a little bit easier for people working in the borough to actually use it quicker, and also for residents to be able to go through it a little bit quicker to kind of look and get out the important information. Go on.
I'm sorry. I'm new to borough council, so I'm also new to comprehensive plans. One of the things that struck me is exactly what you said, but then I looked at the action items in the back, the Excel kind of spreadsheets with actions, which it sounds like you're suggesting we not have, right?
Well, I think you can still have those action items. Typically with the chapters that we produce, we'll come up with a number of recommendations. And I think that section is useful to put all those recommendations in one place. What I suggested earlier was that we tease out what are the things that the borough really wants to accomplish over the next 10 years. And we make another list, a list of plan actions that would go right in the front of the plan. So if nobody really read the entire document, but they just read that front of the document, they would get an idea of what the borough is trying to accomplish over the next 10 years. And they would really get, it would sort of drill down to what's really important.
Yeah, if we're successful, you're going to have the dessert up front, and then you'll get to the steak and the potatoes afterwards. And I think it's really important that you have a really clear, concise executive summary at the beginning of your comprehensive plan. And those action items, instead of being at the end of the document, really are the front of the document, because that's truly what the comprehensive plan is about, is getting the stuff done, identifying where your needs are, and then providing the backup information as to how we got to those recommendations.
Yeah, well, it was my experience with the current plan is that the items that actually did get accomplished were the actions that were already in process when the plan was being written. And a lot of the other things were wishes to have. And there are just a lot of them, and a lot of them didn't get approached at all. It didn't feel like we used the plan to, like, we didn't wake up in the morning and say, oh, what does the plan tell us we should do now? It was more, well, I used it when I wrote for grants for open space to say, well, what's in the plan that supports my request for money? But in terms of it guiding our process going forward, it didn't. It was more like a lot of the things that got done in the planning, and actually in the land planning department, were already started when the plan was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you go back to Planning 101, your comprehensive plan really, when it's done well, is supposed to be the basis for your zoning ordinance. It's what's identifying the principles that then help you to write the zoning to accomplish the land use patterns that you'd like to see in the borough. And if the comprehensive plan is done well, whether you're on the Planning Commission or you're on council, that document should be dog-eared, full of post-it notes, and goes with you to every meeting, and it's by your side as your constant companion, because anytime an application comes before you for land development, you should be looking at that comprehensive plan and say, does it fit? Does it meet what we talked about for future land use? Is it, how does it affect natural resources? It's supposed to be your guide. Again, it shouldn't be sitting on the shelf. So when it's successful, you're going to be using it every day.
So you could look at it, for example, to say, see, in the we want sidewalks, so you can put your sidewalk in. And that would be the kind of thing that is used to support, because we put in there the things we, how we want to approach things. Mm-hmm.
For those of you who have, especially for those of you who have worked on the plan in the past, was there anything that you guys saw specifically, whether it be formatting or kind of, I guess I'm just trying to ask you the same question. Was there anything specifically that you felt was very helpful or not helpful in terms of how the plan was written in the past?
Julia, you're muted.
I know. I'm having a private conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. That's quite all right. No. I was trying to think. I'm trying to remember back 10 years when we did this. And in terms of how the plan was written, there was a lot of, I felt like there was a lot of accommodating of personal and political concerns that were in the backdrop of that plan, and had to be delicately stepped around. So there are a few items in the plan that won't make sense to any of you who are not around and involved in the process 10 years ago. There seems there was a lot of I felt it was a good thing that there was a lot of effort to bring in kind of the feel of Newtown in the writing of the chapters, because I think, you know, the feel of the town is something that everybody say, oh, you know, Newtown is so special, the board of X, Y, and Z. And it's, you know, we value this, we value that. And I hope that those values came through in the chapters as they were written. And the people who were involved in writing it at the time had a lot of ideas for the future, and philosophies change. People who are on the various committees change and may not have felt the same way as the group that wrote the original plan. So I get your point, Mike, about and Evan, about trying to make this a more usable document. I wholeheartedly agree with that, because what feels like now is we're kind of going back and saying, oh yeah, we did that. Oh, now that was in the plan, you know. It's those things that have gotten accomplished were things that people were thinking in the back of their minds anyway. So I look forward to how you want to update it.
Can I I see Gerard O'Malley on our list as a member of the public, and while he is not right now on the Planning Commission or Borough Council, he was in the past and was part of the 2010 plan process. So I'm wondering, Gerard, do you have any comments or memories that you say, hey, this worked really well, or this part I think you probably want to avoid this time?
Hi, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep. No, I... 10 years ago is a long time, but I do remember, you know, as Julia said, we tried to bring the town feel into the document. And obviously we were we were building off the previous version. So it was an incremental change, looking at what we wanted to accomplish, the vision for the town. I was on the planning commission at the time when we were starting to draft it. And then I think when we adopted it, I was on the council. But I kind of remember us being pretty thorough in the planning commission and working very closely with the Bucks County Planning Commission on each chapter, looking at the goals and things. I just remember the process working very well. Sorry, I don't have a lot of details, but I just, you know, I'll think more about it. If I come up with anything, I'll send it your way.
All right, great, thank you.
Is there a process for soliciting, you know, feedback from borough council and planning commission before the survey responses are in, you know, to get, you know, a summary of current initiatives and important things you want to include there that we can, I guess, list sooner than when we get responses?
That was part of that list that I sent out as a head start toward the meeting that I both sent out to the Planning Commission, and then I gave to all of the council members to bring to whatever boards, committees, commissions that they are liaisons to. So hopefully out there have some feedback from some of the groups. And then obviously one head start is the work that you as the Planning Commission did last year that will be good to see.
And so is this like also now a forum for listing things now during this meeting for what we want to see accomplished? Or?
I would suggest that, Marv, that you and determine some kind of deadline by which you'd like to have answers. I have to say that when I saw that list, I didn't realize that I was supposed to respond to them. I just thought, well, these are interesting questions. Didn't realize that you would like a written reaction. So if you want to make that assignment and, you know, for when you'd like to hear back from us so you can consolidate everything and send the information on to both planning commissions, that would be great.
Okay, so I guess the simple answer would be whenever any of your boards, committees, or commissions meet during this coming month.
Well, you should already have received the EAC response a while back.
Yes, yeah, EAC and some Shade Tree Commission comments. Mark Waldinger had provided some input from not from Planning Commission, but from him himself, related to pedestrian safety.
So would you be, I guess we will, you know, we'll go over it in the next Planning Commission meeting, and then you'll, is there going to be like will you be the focal point for all this feedback, or will we, or someone from the Planning Commission take feedback?
You mean from the Planning Commission, or?
From council, from commission, from all the different commissions, Shade Tree, and or are they just getting funneled to BPC? I'm sorry, BCPC.
Well, I think we can all share it. I mean, it definitely needs to go to them, but there's no reason why it can't be transparent to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, I might suggest, like, if you and members of the Planning Commission have their ideas, then and if you want Mark, if this makes sense to you, then, you know, send it to each other, including Mark, Craig, your chair, but also to Mark Cohen. And then, Marv, you're the sort of that touch point, being the liaison with the Planning Commission. And then we, the members of council, will send things to you. And you will then, like, you can share them with the planning commission of, you know, the Newtown Borough Planning Commission, and then also be that funnel up to the county level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, what I would prefer is that each committee or commission come with their consolidated ideas as opposed to each individual, you know, person do it.
Okay. Yeah, I think because I know
It sounds like the Planning Commission is well on the way from the work they did last year.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but right. And when I was thinking of those individual ones, I was thinking about the Planning Commission, our Newtown Borough Planning Commission specifically. Obviously, other people like will go to their liaison, like the rec board would then funnel to Nicole, who would then pass it over to you.
Right. But not individual members of the rec board, it would be the view of the rec board. Which will give, you know, the Bucks County Planning Commission a head start on those later interactions that they're having.
So for Mike Ramos, I think the answer to your question is each committee was supposed to be talking about this. So for instance, rec board has spoken about, you know, what they would like to include in it. At that point, as the liaison, I will be making that list, and then that will be the recommendations from the Recreation Board, which will be considered when you as Planning Commission are the first step in this whole process.
Okay, so it would go from Rec Board to you, and then to Marv, and back to the Planning Commission.
Exactly. I mean, there's a chance that I would even attend, you know, that meeting, because typically the Planning Commission meetings are, you know, it's public meetings. If you did it in smaller groups, then we could even talk about, oh, this is the day we're going over this. I mean, it's just a process of basically like communicating between the liaisons and the council and the Planning Commission.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So what is our next step?
Well, I think our next step is to, we have to decide what our first meeting date is going to be and who we're going to be meeting with. We can have material available at that meeting. We can discuss the survey. We can go over the work program. And we can discuss the possibility of a business survey. So there would be plenty to talk about at that first meeting. It's just a matter of determining, when and who it would be with.
And Julia, I think maybe our first step, you know, within us would be maybe to take a look at those, you know, house cleaning surveys that you came up with, see how relevant they still are, how useful they might be moving forward as a starting place on the new survey. So I will be in touch with you.
Okay.
And you'll send us the Planning Commission's work relative to the action items.
Yeah, I'll get with Mark, and we'll put those together.
Okay.
So probably can recreate the missing information.
Yeah, they are in the meeting notes, but we'll spare you guys having to go through them and just consolidate them. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Mike Ramos, for doing that.
Sure, no problem.
So my question then, it also as far as what happens next, is actually the date. So it sounds like what's happening next is really something that involves Planning Commission and members of council and everybody would want to be a part of, as opposed to those meetings where we, for example, involve some people from the various boards and committees and the subcategories. So do we want to do that on June before Thursday in June. I know the Planning Commission ends up having to go, you know, to join a meeting when it's not their usual meeting night. And usually you have that first Monday of the month, which is a little bit soon for us to have another meeting right now. So, I mean, I'm on board for anything. I'm looking to the County Planning Commission and our Planning Commission to figure that out with Marv. But we always have those four Thursdays open, and we can join you at any of yours. But again, back to the advertising. So is tonight, right now, a good time to discuss the next date? Or is that something that you want to have a conversation with between with Marv, with the county, and the Borough Planning Commission, and then get back to us?
And could I ask, you know, what was the first meeting on that Gantt chart after the kickoff meeting? That at least your tentative plan timeline was.
I'm sorry, could you repeat what you just said, Marv? My computer's...
Oh, well, you had a Gantt chart up, but, you know, I didn't necessarily read all the fine print. So what, I mean, there was a first meeting. I know the kickoff meeting was on there, and then there was, what was the second proposed meeting?
So right now we have it set up from a month from now. So again, whatever works for you guys, but if you want to do that fourth Thursday in June, we can start doing the dates from there.
But what was the topic?
The first one is just reviewing the tentative work program schedule, reviewing the introduction and discuss plan format, and we can talk about the survey and if we want to do that and if we want to do a business survey as well.
So is that something that would be between you and the Planning Commission? Or should I ask Mark and Mike, is that something that you would think would be between you and the Bucks County members? Looking at the introduction.
So Mark Craig is not on this call anymore. He's not in the meeting.
Well, I said Mark, that's what I said, Mark and Mike.
Okay, yeah. And just so you know, I mean, I'm not sure, it seems like we're maybe going back and forth between whether this is at a council meeting, which would be a fourth Thursday of the month, or if it's at a Planning Commission meeting, that the next scheduled Planning Commission meeting after this coming Monday would be July 6th. Just throwing that out there.
I guess if it's going to be at the Planning Commission, I mean, if they were planning to meet a month from now, then I mean, what's another, you know?
And is there anything that could be done this next Monday? I don't know. That's, I guess, mainly what I'm asking. I don't know how in-depth it needs to, how much prep is needed and how much is on the current Planning Commission agenda.
Michael, is there anything that can be accomplished in, you know, before the next meeting, or do you guys need that full month?
I think we would need the full month. I think there's some discussion that needs to go. I mean, obviously, you're going to get, to the various committees and groups and, obviously ask, you know, what they like about the comprehensive, some of those comprehensive plan questions, as well as, what the borough has accomplished over the last 10 years. I think that might be useful information to have. And I don't think we're really ready with our drafts. So I think we would need the full month. I think I would ask that that no matter what meeting date we choose, that we at least have someone who's chairing those meetings, who's in charge, and who's ensuring that the meetings are moving along. So it really doesn't matter to me who that is or what whose meeting we're at, as long as you know, when we're in that that process of reviewing drafts and going through material and hitting those agenda items, as long as you know, somebody is, you know, pushing that agenda forward, I think that would work fine for us.
Okay, I guess we're assuming, are we going to be in person or virtual next time? I guess I don't know.
Yeah,
for both.
Yeah, who knows?
Does council need to meet with them before the second planning commission meeting from now?
I don't think so. Any other opinions?
So, Margaret, what we could do is just have, if there's a list of things where council might want to weigh on when everybody's there and at the council meeting, so the not next Wednesday, but Tuesday thereafter, if there's anything that we need to discuss, then we could just have it as an agenda item, and whatever can be accomplished via email or input to you, you know, that's that we can do, then people can individually submit that and we can discuss whatever we might need to actually, you know, contemplate or deliberate on at the meeting. And that way we have that done in advance.
Yeah, I see the planning commission interactions as being the real work sessions is the way, and then council would be oversight.
So I have a question for our solicitor then. So the other Mike Clark, and I guess the PCPC folks can, you know, they know what is usually done, but this is, again, is a housekeeping issue. So Mike Hart, should we advertise that the planning commission meetings are happening and they may be borough council meetings, in that we may have a quorum of borough council members attending at any given planning commission meeting, and then we advertise them as such?
You don't need to advertise them as borough council meetings if you are going to be attending as individual council members, and it is still a planning commission meeting. You can go and you can give feedback. As long as there's not going to be any deliberation or any decision making by council, it wouldn't need to be advertised as a borough council meeting, even if a quorum is present.
Okay, does that include any, like, deliberation on, you know, or comments or discussion on what goes into our comprehensive plan?
As long as you're not deliberating or making any final decisions at that planning commission meeting, you can make comments, you can indicate what you would like to see in that, but ultimately it would have to be done at a council meeting during the adoption of the comprehensive plan.
Right, which would be at the end of it. So, okay, and we'll have a public meeting prior to that, et cetera, et cetera. So,
right.
Okay. All right, well, that's good to know then, that's helpful. Thanks.
So it sounds like the next meeting is going to be on the Planning Commission calendar then, being whatever, yes, the first meeting, the July Planning Commission meeting.
It'd be July 6th, yeah.
July 6th.
Yes, I would agree.
Then I have a question, I guess, for members of the Planning Commission, which is, how do you want to interweave things that you do that fall under your purview on top of this comprehensive plan process? Because you'll still get, you know, whether it's land development requests or, you know, things that people want to do that require coming before the planning commission. And so you'll have your routine activities in addition to this. So how do you want to structure that for you, where we have these comprehensive plan meetings, but you also have the time to do what you usually do?
I guess it's unavoidable to have both. I don't know if we can look at the agendas before each meeting and kind of guess how much time needs to be set aside for subdivisions and or any other agenda items other than the comprehensive plan. I guess the Bucks County Planning Commission might have to sit through some stuff first, potentially. I don't know. Well, how have you guys done it with other jurisdictions? I mean, I guess, you know, if we have, you know, three things to go before that, I don't know how long they're going to take.
With some other communities, we would attend the work session. If the PC has like two meetings a month, at the one meeting, they might look at subdivision land development type issues. And then at the other meeting, which would be their work session, is where we would be discussing the comprehensive plan.
We have one meeting a month. Did we plan for any working sessions for this? Did Mark plan any working sessions specifically for this?
You can always schedule a special meeting if you need a second meeting. And just to let you know, there are a couple of large activities with regard to the zoning ordinance and the Saldo chapter as part of the E-code update that are going to be coming your way very soon. So it may mean that the Planning Commission is going to have to schedule a second meeting just for one or the other topic during your coming months. And we also have land development plans that might come back to you too. So you might find a second meeting during a month might be helpful.
Yeah, and Mike, I guess since Mark's not here, would you be willing to reach out to any of the other members who aren't on the call now and see, if they're open to pretty much proactively scheduling two meetings, a second meeting during these coming months, during when the comprehensive plan is in play. That way, if they could always be canceled if such, but to plan ahead for having two meetings per month instead of one.
Yeah, it sounds like as we talk through it, that might make the most sense. And I guess the Bucks County Planning Commission would, I'm guessing, prefer to have a set date every month or as opposed to, checking the agenda and schedule. And if there's nothing on the agenda, then scheduling you guys and there is going to another date. I guess you'd rather have a second date, a firm date that you come to our meetings every month?
Yeah, I think that would be helpful because it gives us the, a steady date to target our work efforts towards. And I would agree that I would think it would be best to do this in a work session without other things on the agenda because, it could take us an hour, it might take us 2 hours to get through the stuff on the work plan. So if you have a particularly heavy agenda one night, we could be there a long time, but that's up to you guys.
Okay. So we'll have to discuss after this meeting internally with the Planning Commission and come up with a second date, sounds like.
So if potentially the second date is later in the month of June, then maybe you can figure out what minimum amount of time our Bucks County colleagues would need to be able to actually, get started in June, being later in the month instead of the very beginning of the month.
Okay, so then we'll get you an answer shortly. So you guys can plan for that. Maybe we can get a late June meeting in.
Okay, great.
Anybody else have any other thoughts? So I'm going to try and remember the action items, I think. So one action item is for me to get together with Julia and, you know, take a look at our, you know, most recent surveys. Another action item is for Mike to get together with Newtown Planning Commission colleagues to plan a set week and day of the week for a second planning commission meeting, at least for, say, the next 6 months, I would think, or I guess, say, the remainder of the year would be the easiest way to do it. Liaisons should, you know, coordinate with their boards, committees, commissions to get feedback relevant to those boards in place. Any other action items that anybody can remember?
The last action item was the section that we said if it's ongoing, completed, right, or we still need to proceed with that little chart thing that the Planning Commission worked on for a couple of meetings. We need to get that chart over to Bucks County Planning Commission.
Yeah, okay, so that's for Mike and Mark to try and recreate the information from the work the Planning Commission did in 2019.
Yep.
If that's it, thank you everyone for joining, and hope this was a reasonable kickoff.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So as it's also still a public meeting, we were going to ask for public to be heard. There's somebody's background, but I don't know what it is. Judy, do you see any hands? I don't see anything.
No, I don't see any hands up.
All right. I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion. We have a second. Any further discussion on adjourning? No? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? All right. Meeting has adjourned. Thank you all again so much, and we look forward to gathering again. All right, take care.
Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you. Look forward to working with you guys.
All right, thank you. Yeah, you too. You too, very
much.
Take care, everyone.
Mr. Parker, we all.